Good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone that's out. We want to thank you for being here. I want you to take your Bibles and study with us the Word of God. Because the thing that we don't want to do is teach you anything except what's in the Bible, the truth. We want you to know what God wants of you, what He desires of you, and what He expects of you to go to heaven by. You know, the whole purpose of us being here is one day when this life is over, is to go to heaven. You're not here to make money. We're going to make more money here. We ain't going to dig no ditches and we ain't going to raise no building. But what we can do is get our soul right with God. And that's the main thing here today. That's what we're here for, is to make sure that we can stand in judgment one day and be there justified, purified, and sanctified before the Lord God Almighty. And we can do that here today. You know, I want to read to you a story that's found over here in Luke chapter 2. And it's a story, you first read it, you don't think much about it. But then it applies to so many things when you get to thinking about it. Jesus was a young boy. He went there to Jerusalem for keeping the Passover here. And in chapter 2, and starting in verse 40 there of Luke, his parents went down there every year. And they came down there to take him. He said, and the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was already upon Jesus as he was walking that day. He said, and now his parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. Every year they went to Jerusalem for that, to keep it. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem and after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, in other words, been there as long as they needed to, as they departed, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They didn't know anything about it. It was a crowd of people traveling together, and he stayed behind, and they didn't pay attention to it until they'd gone a long ways. He said, but supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. He went a whole day's journey thinking he was with them, and he wasn't. You know, today people go through life thinking Jesus is with them, and he's not. You say, well, everybody says Jesus is with them, and a lot of people do. But is he? They think he is. They think he's there. He's in their mind, they've got him there with them, but how they really? You know, the last thing you want to do is wait to the last day of life and find out he wasn't with you. These people here, his mother and father seen that he wasn't with them, and they turned back, and they went back to see and got him. And he says, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him was astonished by the understanding of his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowfully. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Was it not that I must be about my father's business? See, they didn't understand, because Joseph was his earthly father here. Was his dad. But he was talking about his heavenly father. He said, am I not to be about my father's business? I'm doing my father's business. If you want to be with me, you got to do it with me. How much of it are we doing today? You know, how much are we just supposing that he's with us? You know, you talk to most people, you say, you have Jesus in your life? Yes, yes, yes. Where you go to church at? Here or there. Maybe not at all. Part-time, whenever. But they still think Jesus is with them. We're going to look at some things today to see what keeps Jesus from being with us. You know, Christ is with us when we are willing to do what he wants us to do. When he's willing to, if we're willing to hear him. Do you want to hear Christ today? Listen to his word. Christ's word tells us what Christ wants of us. Matthew over here in chapter 17. We find that Jesus is talking to these people here. And in verse 5 of that chapter, and he tells us, he said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, now let me tell you, if you read the first part of that, it's the Mount of Transfiguration. His disciples was there, and suddenly there appeared upon the mountain these figures speaking. And if you look up there and see this, he said, these men there was Moses and Elijah talking with him. Jesus was there. And he said, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou let us, we will make three tabernacles for you. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We're going to make three tabernacles, places of worship. We're going to worship you, we're going to worship Moses, and we're going to worship Elijah. Well, now, if Jesus is going to be with him, he says, now listen. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him. Don't worry about Moses. His time is coming on. Don't worry about Elijah. His time. This is Jesus' time. This is the time that you listen to Jesus. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. I'm with you. I'm there with you. Build a tabernacle. Build a place to worship me. Not these others. Today, who are you worshiping? Some people said, well, I'm worshiping Jesus. How you worship him? Well, the way I'm taught by this denomination or that denomination. What about what he's spoken? He said, hear you him. I don't need a denomination to listen to what Jesus said. I can look in God's word and tell you what he says. I don't need some group of men getting together and saying, now, Frank, this is the way you need to worship up there where you go to church. No, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to worship the way he says. Don't need to hear him. And that way Christ will be with me. I want Christ with me. I want him today. I want him up here with me today. I want him here in the building with us today. Do you know that Jesus Christ, when we come together in his name and two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of us? Do you believe Jesus Christ is here today? I do. In his spirit, in his word, he's here. You know, today when we pray, we can pray to Jesus. You say, well, how can we? He can't hear. He's up in heaven. No, his spirit's here with us. We can talk to him right here. We can talk to God the Father through Jesus Christ here. Do you believe in his holy angels being here? He said angels over the church. Reading Revelations over there. Those angels that were over the church, they're over the church here as well, his church. Now, they're not over the man-made churches out here. Some man's over them. But this morning, I can be here in the presence of holy and heavenly beings, Jesus Christ and his holy angels. You know, somebody said, well, I ain't never seen an angel. You don't know if you did or not. What, you know what they look like? He said, be careful in entertaining strangers. You could entertain angels unaware. Who knows what an angel looked at? They said, oh, it's a woman, and it's got long flowing gowns, and it's got wings and hair. No, it ain't. Nowhere in the Bible is it described like that. You know, every time it talks about an angel, he's in a male form. You know, when Abraham looked up and saw the angels coming, he saw men coming. He saw these strange men coming, but he knew who they were. One come to Lot there in Sodom and Gomorrah and warned him about the fire that's about to rain down from heaven. Men, angels. In male form. Nowhere in the Bible do we ever read one. In fact, they're not real males because Jesus said in heaven they'll be neither married or given in marriage, but we'll be as the angels of heaven are, neither male or female. They're neither one. But you know, we see these people get these figurines of these angels and put up in their house. Oh, I got an angel watching out over me. You got a stupid piece of glass that's invented by the imagination of men that has no bearing whatsoever on protecting you. If you want protection, have Christ on your side. Put him with you. Put him in the room with you. And you know, as we look at these things, a lot of people think they got something spiritual helping them out when they ain't got nothing. His father and mother thought they had Jesus with them until they'd went that day's journey and looked around and wasn't there. How many days' journey do you want to go not knowing Jesus is with you? You know, look at these things. Look over in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And when you see over here, Paul writing to the church at Rome, where he tells them about how important it is. In chapter 10 and verse 17, he says, now listen here. He said, so then faith, what is faith? Belief, believing, cometh by hearing. You got to hear something to believe in it, don't you? You may say, did you believe what Frank said? If I didn't get up here and say nothing, you'd say, well, I don't know what he said. He didn't say nothing. But you got to read this Bible, and then you've got to believe. He said, by faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. How much faith do you have in this Word of God being true? It's from God. Holy men of God wrote these things down as they were told of God, of the Spirit, to write them. They were instructed to write these things. When he tells me here, then faith cometh by hearing, it comes by hearing the Word of God. Today, when you hear the Word of God, I hope it produces faith in your heart. Because it's going to take faith to walk with Christ. Do you want to walk with Christ all the way up until the time that you leave this world? I do. You know, I've been to a lot of bedsides of people dying. And some of them, you'll look at them, and they'll have the most complete satisfaction look on their face that you've ever seen, even a smile a lot of times. While others will be there with their faces distorted and look like they're scared to death and they're frightened and they have nothing to hold on to. You know the difference between the two? One's got Christ, the other one don't. When you're on that deathbed and Christ reaches his hand out for you and takes you up, you're satisfied. You've got it all. When you look up and all you see is darkness and black and you don't know where you're going, it's scary. You got to know the difference. Do you want Christ? Well, you need him now. You got to have him now to have him then. You know, there's this song we sang a lot of times, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. He's talking about death. He's talking about crossing death alone. Be a scary thing. You ever been in a boat by yourself of a night and hit so dark you couldn't tell where the bank was? I have. And you know, it's good to have somebody with you to help point it out to you as you go along down through there. God's going to point it out. He's going to lead us towards it. He's going to lead us towards where we need to go. He's going to give us that safe passage. And, you know, we need to have that. I won't have to cross Jordan alone because I'm going to keep Christ with me. I'm going to follow him. You know, we look at these things and we see how important it is. We've got to believe in him. How many of us really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I do. I believe he come here and was born to the Virgin Mary. I believe he was raised here and he taught here and he kept his oath to serve God and all things. You know, Jesus Christ never did have a home here on earth. Never did have a house. Never had a bed to lay in. Never did have a bed. He never had a roof over his head. He never had a floor under his feet. He went from place to place serving God. We put so much emphasis upon the physical things of life. We want to comfort ourselves, don't we? I like a roof that don't leak. I don't know how many of you. How many of you have ever lived in a house that leaked and every time it rained you had to run and get pots and pans and put under the leaks? How many of us has ever had to chink around the windows to keep the cold air out so you wouldn't freeze to death of that while you was asleep? How many of us have had to carry the wood and the coal in to build a fire of a night to keep the warm? See, we want creature comforts. Jesus had none of these. He went through this life and only had what other people gave to him. He never lived in his own house. He never built his own fire. He never done none of these things. People helped him and brought him in and fed him and done this for him. But he never did have a place to lay his head. He wasn't much better than animals out here living when he passed through this world. Why? He didn't care about them things. He had a heavenly home. He had a home in heaven that was eternal. That's what he was concerned about. He knew that this life on this earth was temporary, short term. You say, well, I'm going to live a long life. Even if you live to be 100 years old, it's a short time here. Short time. You think about how many centuries, how many hundreds of years have passed on man here upon this earth. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and you look at all the thousands of years that have come and gone. 100 years is a short time and all that. And most of us are not going to live 100. You know, he says you can live 70 years. That's 70-year-old. That's what the lifespan of a normal man, normal person is. He said you may even live longer by reason of strength, a blessing from him. I've reached 70. I've reached what he's promised me. Anything else is just what God wants to give me. He's done fulfilled his promise to me. So, you know, I'm looking at the end. Now, I don't want to go there at that end and not have nobody to reach a hand down to get me on the other side. I want to be assured that Jesus is there for me. I want to be assured he's there now, so he will be there then. How many of us wants to face that alone? I don't. I don't want to have to cross to the other side alone. You know, we look at these things, we see how important it is for us to remember. John 3 and 16. He tells us over here in John 3 and 16 how wonderful it is to know about Christ. Verse 16, and he said, of that chapter, he said, now listen, he said, for God so loved the world. Now, who was it he loved in the world? It ain't the trees. It ain't the water. It ain't the mountains. He loved man. God so loved the world that he created for man. He said, man, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Should not perish. He didn't say, will not perish. He said, you should not. If you believe in him, you should not perish. Because you should keep him with you. You should follow him. You should believe him. You should hear him and imitate him. We have a lot of people that says that you will not perish. No, he didn't say will not. He said you should not perish. There's a big difference. And you know, we have a lot of these different religions out here, denominations that quote that verse quite often, and they quote it wrong. They say, will not. But it doesn't say will not. It says you should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of us wants everlasting life? I do. I want to live forever. I can't do it here on earth, but I can do it in heaven. I can do it up there in the presence of God. Can you imagine living up there and having the peace of mind? You don't have to worry about no more wars. You don't have to have a police station. You don't have to have a fire department. You don't have to have hospitals up there. You don't have to have doctors. You don't have to have nurses. No schools. God's going to teach you everything you need to be taught. You won't have to have grocery stores. God will feed you. You don't have to have clothing stores. He will clothe you. God will be everything to you. There won't be no Walmarts there. You don't have to worry about money. And no place to spend it. You know, a lot of people said, I'm going to give this money to God. No, you're not giving it to God. You're giving it to help God here on this earth. God has no need for money. What's he going to spend it on? He has everything he wants. If he don't have it, he can get it. He made everything. How many of us knows what God's extent is? I don't. He has no limitations. You know, we see this figure up on the board where we were laid by in store. Somebody said, well, you give good money to God. We can give it to God. We give it to help God's work. We give it to God's house here to do God's work. That's what it's for. Because somebody said, but we need to put it in the bank and let it draw interest. Why? It ain't that for that. It's to do God's work. It's to teach the gospel and to help the poor saints. That's what it is. And that's what it's used for. And you know, somebody said, now my money's in there too, and I won't have a say-so in how it's used. Once you put it in there, it's no longer your money. It belongs to God and belongs to this church. You don't have no more in it. And it's up to the church here to do the things that needs to be done with it. A lot of people think what's in there for a bank account for everybody. No, it's not. And you know, when we understand these things, we understand how to keep Christ with us. Look over in John chapter 8 over here in verse 24. And he tells us in chapter 8 and verse 24 of this chapter, he said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am He. You shall die in your sins. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will die in your sins. And you'll cross Jordan alone. The devil will be waiting on the other side. How many of you want to cross it alone? I don't. I want a helping hand across it. You know, we got a lot of songs that we sing about crossing Jordan. It's a symbol. The Jordan River over there, the children of Israel crossed it going into the promised land. I got a promised land, and they use Jordan as an illustration of crossing over into it when we die. That promised land is waiting on us if we're willing to accept it, if we're willing to trust Jesus and have Jesus with us. Do you have Jesus with you this morning? And I'll bet you right now you can ask, go down the road up and down through here and ask 100 people, and probably 80% of them will say, yes, I'm walking with Jesus. But then when you see their lives and what they're doing and how they're doing it, you see that they're not. They're going to be disappointed in the end because they're not doing what Jesus told them. They're not worshiping the way Jesus told them. They're not doing what He's saying. Now, in Matthew chapter 10 over here, in verse 32, He tells us in chapter 10 of Matthew, in verse 32, that we need to pay attention to ourselves and make sure that we confess that He is Christ. A lot of people will say, well, yeah, He's Christ, He's the Son of God. But then they don't teach it in their actions. You know, it don't do no good to say it if you ain't going to do it. In chapter 10, verse 32 there, He tells us, He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. If I confess Jesus Christ today before this world, He said, I'll confess you, Frank, before my Father. I'll tell you, my Father, that you're mine. You can come on into heaven. If you're not Christ's, you can't get into heaven. No entrance. Somebody said, what position you want in heaven? What level, Frank? I didn't know there was no level. This old boy told me, said, oh, yeah, I believe it's going to be level. I said, I don't worry about that. I'll be the doorkeeper, and you can be whatever level you want. Just get me in heaven. Because alternative, just talk, don't cut it for me. I don't want to go to hell. Just get me in heaven. I'll keep the door clean, swept, let it people in and out. But, you know, it don't matter. I know if I'm in heaven, I'm all right. And you know, as we look there in chapter 10 there, verse 32, we also look over in Romans 10 and 10, and He tells us that confession is necessary for our salvation. In chapter 10, verse 10, He said, for with the heart man believeth with righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you believe in your heart today that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You got to know that. Do you believe that He sent His Son down here to die for you upon Calvary's cross? Do you believe that God loved you so much? God so loved the world. He loved mankind so much that to save man from his own self and his own sin, He sent His Son from heaven down here to die upon the cross. And you know, on that day when they spit in His face and they smacked Him and they made fun of Him and they mocked Him and placed robes on Him and called Him names, all He had to do is say, Father, send down legions of angels and save me from this. And angels would have swarmed from heaven in great thousands and numbers and lift Jesus out of there and killed the whole world. He said He could have destroyed the whole world. But He didn't. He suffered what He suffered so me and you could be saved. Now, are you with Him today? Are you following Jesus Christ or are you following the ways of the world? Somebody said, well, you can do it any way you want to. But no, I can't do anything I want to do. I got to do it Christ's way. He's the one who died for me. You know what? When those spikes went into His hands and in His feet and pinned Him to that wood cross and was lifted into the air between heaven and earth down here, and the weight of His body swung on them and the blood poured from that was for me and you. That's for my sins and your sins. That blood run down and poured upon the ground there for me and you. And if we don't think enough of Christ to believe that and follow that and do it the way He said do it, we don't deserve in heaven. If He would go through all of that for me, and take the beatings and the whipping and the mocking and the spitting in his face and slapping him and putting crowns of thorns upon his head and doing all sorts of things, placing robes on him and calling him names. He could have stopped it at any time. You know, he opened not his mouth. Never said a word in reply. You know why? He wasn't protecting himself. He was protecting you and me. He was giving me and you a way to go to heaven. Now, do you have Christ with you today? Do you feel that? In you? You know, when we take the communion today, you know what that is? That is the body and the blood of Christ. When I take that bread there and take it today, I remember his body that was given for me, that was broken. When the spear lashed his side and forthwith come blood and water. Whenever he hung there and moaned in agony and pain, that was the body there that we're taking. Remember it. It's a memorial to that. And when we take the drink there, the through the vine, we remember his blood. When that blood squirted from his arms and his hands and his legs and feet, and when it crown of thorns was upon his head and the blood dripping down his face, that stands for that blood that was given for me and you. Blood for our sins that me and you committed. Wasn't there, and you know, he didn't commit any sin. They couldn't find one sin against him. Not one. So they told lies. How many of us likes to have lies told on us? Nobody does, do we? Bad enough to tell the truth on me. I don't want no lies told on me. You know, I got to live with the truth. I sure don't want to have to live with lies. But Jesus had to go through the lies. He had to hear the lies told on him and all the false accusations and stuff that caused him to be killed like that. Are you walking with Jesus today? Are you feeling that today? Are you remembering that? When you take that communion today, that's exactly what you're doing. You're remembering that till he comes again. You know, Romans over here in chapter 6, he tells us when we walk with Jesus Christ, we got to start with a new life. We can't go in the old life because my old life was sin. Jesus won't walk with sin. He won't let me walk with him if I've got sin. I got to get rid of the sin. And he tells us in chapter 6, Paul does, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I can't continue in sin and be in the grace of God at the same time. I got to get rid of the sin. How many of us are rid of our sins? That's how many are walking with Christ. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How many of us have lived in sin? I have. I had to come out of it. I had to get rid of it. And he said, know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Don't you know when you're baptized into death. You're reenacting the death of Christ. You're burying that old man of sin in that watery grave of baptism. You're taking away the sins that's of him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. He said, when we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, that dead man has rose that died to sin, and he's walking in a new life with Christ Jesus in a newness of life. Are you walking with Christ today? Or are you still out there in the world? He said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, there's going to be a resurrection. Jesus was resurrected. You remember he was placed in a tomb after his crucifixion. It was sealed. It was even protected by soldiers. But yet he came forth out of it. He was resurrected from that tomb, and he walked again upon the earth, and he went back to heaven. He said, we too will have that resurrection one day. One day when Jesus comes back from the skies above, he will make a loud noise, the trumpet will sound, and the whole world will hear it. It will break forth, the angels of heaven will come forth with Jesus Christ in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and have obeyed not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dead in Christ shall be raised first out of the graves. The dead will come forth out of the graves that have died a righteous death in Christ. And they will be lifted up into the air. And he said they will go with Jesus, and there they shall forever be. Oh, what a great thing it will be. He said, but the ones that are left behind, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and man will be running and crying for the rocks of the mountain to fall on them and hide them from the face of the Lord. I want to see the Lord. You want to see him now. You don't want to see him then. And when I'm lifted out of that grave, I will go. He said, the dead in Christ will rise first. I will be lifted in the air, and I will not have to see the destruction of this world, and I'm glad for it. I don't want to see people destroy it, but it's going to be. He says it will. But first of all, I got to walk with Christ. I got to live in Christ. I got to be in Christ. And when I die, death won't be nothing but a peaceful sleep for me till that time when he comes. Oh, but the powerful anguish, torment of those who die without Christ. It'll be a sad time. So, you know, as we look at these things, we see how important it is for us to be in Christ. We can't indulge ourselves in the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 over here tells us we got to refrain from that stuff. We got to stay away from it in order to walk with Christ. Then his parents thought they were walking with him and looked around and he wasn't there. Many a person thinks they're going to be walking with Christ and look around one day and he ain't there when they need him. Chapter 5 here of Galatians, he tells us, in verse 19 through 21, he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest or made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, seditions, and heresies. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't have these things on you. You can't be adulterer or fornicator or uncleanness or lasciviousness or any of these other things and be a child of God. You got to get rid of them. How you do that? It's like Paul said, die to the love and practice of sin. Be buried with him in baptism. You rise to walk a new life, no longer in those things. Put them away. Then Christ will walk with you. He won't walk with you in these things. If you're going to go out there and commit adultery, Christ ain't going with you. I had this one guy tell me one time, he said, I was drunk last night and I wrecked, and if the Lord hadn't been with me, he'd probably kill me. I said, son, the Lord wasn't with you in that car when you were drunk. He ain't going to go with you. People say a lot of things about where the Lord is when he's not. Lord ain't going to get in there with you when you're drunk. He ain't going to go with you to commit fornication or adultery. He ain't going to go with you to the bars to get drunk. He ain't going to go with you in all these things. He's not going to go with you anywhere as long as you're in those sins. So you got to get rid of them. Now the works of the flesh, he said, are manifest or made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. You know, you look there and you see these things like variance, that's contentions. Emulations, jealousy. You know, when we look at the strife, self-ambitions, sensions, heresy. It's envying, wanting somebody else's stuff that you ain't got. Doing whatever. Murderers. We all know what murder is. Drunkenness, revilings. And he said anything like as a such lie. You can't go have Jesus with you. Jesus ain't coming with you. A lot of people think he is, but he ain't. Now when you do these things, you got to love, die to the love and practice of those things. And you raise to walk a new life in Christ Jesus. Are you ready to raise and walk that life? He said, now listen. He said, we need to pay attention to ourselves and we need to do what's right. Give heed to the doctrines of men. He's not going to go with us. Matthew chapter 15 over here. We have a lot of people says they're walking with Christ, but they're giving heed to the doctrines of men and not to the doctrines of Christ. Well, look over here in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus was sure talking to all these religious people here. And he said in verse 9 of that chapter, he said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of men. You know, every church this morning that's gathered together teaching for the doctrines of men are teaching in vain. It's useless. I can't belong to some man-made association down here and please God. I got to belong to God. I got to belong to Christ. I got to preach what Christ said preach. I can't preach what some association tells me to preach. I had this neighbor of mine, I thought the world of man. He told me, he said, we changed associations the other day. I said, what are you talking about? He said, we changed associations up at church where we go. I said, why? What is this? He said, we got different associations we can belong to. The Baptist church does. He said, he told me the name of it. And I said, we like it better. I said, why? Well, it's more to the way we want to do things. It ain't about what you want to do. It's what God wants you to do. It ain't about what some association will allow you to do. It's about what God allows you to do. And the poor man died and never changed. I talked to him about it several times. And he never would concede from that. He stayed right with it to the day he died. And you know what? He crossed Jordan alone. Christ's not going to go with you when you're in the wrong, people. He ain't going with you. You can't deceive yourself. You can't tell God what to do and how to do it. You got to do it the way God tells you to do it. And well, I have to do it, and you have to do the same thing. And I don't want to have to cross. Before we run out of time, I'd like to read something over here that he wrote to us in Psalms to help us in understanding that if we have Jesus with us, everything is going to be all right. Psalms chapter 23 there. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what he's doing here? He's using the illustration of a common thing back there when he was alive and talking here to these people. A shepherd out there with his sheep. That was a common thing. Everybody knew how to tend sheep and take care of them, know, and seen them out in the fields. He said, now, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. What is a shepherd? Someone that looks out after the sheep, leads them to water, leads them to food, takes care of them, gets them to shelter, runs off any harmful animals from them. That shepherd is important. He said, and the Lord is my shepherd. Who's yours? Who's yours today? Who is the shepherd of your life? The Lord has to be. And he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still water. What's better for a flock of sheep than to be in a green pasture? Plenty to eat, don't they? And down by the still waters, they don't have to worry about getting in a creek that's going to wash them away. They can go down there and drink and come back safe and be happy. He said, the Lord does this for me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does the Lord do? He leads me and you in the paths of righteousness. We read over in Galatians a few minutes ago, what was he telling? Stay away from these unrighteous deeds. Don't go out here stealing and murdering. Don't go out here committing adultery, fornication, lasciviousness. That's not righteousness. That's in the wrong path, Frank. Don't get in that. You go down that path, it's a path of destruction. Stay in the path of righteousness. That's what he's telling. A good shepherd will put you on the path of righteousness. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Where's that at? Here on this earth today. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Look around us. Man shooting up on the interstate last night. Injured four people. What was that? Was that God? No. That was the devil. What about these people you see being brought into courts sexually abusing small children, beating them to death? What is that? That ain't the Lord. That's the devil, and it's right through the shadow of death right here on this earth, right here we're walking through. And he said, I will fear no evil. Why don't we fear? Because God, he said, for thou art with me. We got a shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God has the protection. He has the rod and the staff to push back or get away from anything from us. Are you his sheep today? Are you in his flock? Are you with Christ? Is Christ with you? Oh, he said, though thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where I want to dwell, in the house of the Lord forever. I've got to let the shepherd lead me. I've got to let him guide me. I've got to let him take me through this world to that promised land. You do too. You got to have Christ with you. Do you have him? Don't think it now. Don't just think you have. His parents thought that, and it was wrong. Other people think it sometimes, and they're wrong. But the last place you want to find it out is when you're crossing Jordan in the last day. You want to know it. You want to be sure he's there. People say, well, I've got plenty of time. You don't know how much time you got. I'd say those people that got shot down there at that school the other day in Georgia thought they had plenty of time. But it was their last day here on earth. They had to cross Jordan. Did they have the Lord with them? I don't know. I hope they did. I pray that they did, because it won't be near the tragedy that it would be if they didn't have. But if you're here today and we can help you getting on the Lord's side, putting you with the Lord, baptizing you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that you may rise in the presence of Jesus Christ and walk from that point on. Or if you've got sins that separated you from God, and you have been a Christian and you need to come back, we can pray with you and let you confess your sins one for another. And he said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. You can come forward when we sing, and we will pray together that your sins be removed and you be restored to the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. If we can help you in any way today, won't you come as together we stand and sing.